Earlier this fall, NBC sports reporter Andrea Joyce joined me and George Wares during the second half of our Central football broadcast against Simpson. She's the wife of longtime news reporter and Central alum Harry Smith, and they were in town for homecoming festivities. When her career started, the concept of a female sports reporter didn't really exist.
The question I have is, so women essentially were a non-entity in sports broadcasting back in the day. So how did you decide that I'm going to try to be the one to break through into this situation?
It was not my decision. I was sort of thrown into it. And Harry and I were in Dallas. We had just gotten married. And I was working at the local ABC station. And one night, somebody was sick. Somebody else was giving a speech. And they needed someone to fill in for the 6 o'clock sports. They wanted someone to do an interview at the Mavericks-Nuggets game at Reunion Arena. And then they needed that person to anchor the sports. And I said, I can't do that. And they said, no, you can do it. You can do it. We'll help you. So I said, okay, I'm going to go out to the game. Who do you want me to interview? And they said, just grab anybody. It's just that, you know, two-minute live shot. Hey, the game's tonight. You know, Mavericks playing the Nuggets. And Doug Moe happened to be the coach of the Nuggets. And for all the young people out there who don't remember, know who Doug Moe was, he was crazy. He was completely
there was a
crazy
section of us the other night that we all knew everybody she was talking
and
about.
So, you know, he's, you know, from the ABA, and, you know, he's just, like, nutty. And I had met him in Denver, so I said, well, if I could get him, would you want him for an... And they said, well, you can't get him. He doesn't like us. You know, somebody made him mad, and he doesn't talk to us when he sees the Channel 8 microphone, right? I said, well, if I could get him. And they said, well, he won't do it. So I go back to my desk. I find out where the team is staying, what hotel. I call the hotel. The receptionist puts me through, and I always say my biggest regret is that I did not get that woman's name.
So she hooked you up?
Well, so she puts me through, and he answers the phone. I woke him up from a nap, and he says, yeah, sure. And so, I go out there, I do this interview with him, and the news director, my boss, back at the station said, how'd she get Doug Moe? You know, we haven't interviewed Doug Moe in 2 years. And so he had this idea. He said, let's do something different. Let's be the first ones to have a woman in the sports department. So they offered me the weekend sports job. And the way that they approached it, this was the station that had broken the SMU scandal back then. Remember when SMU had
the
death
penalty? Ponies, yep.
So that was WFAA that had broken that story. And so his feeling was the sports department didn't have to be a bunch of former jocks, you know, back slapping each other in the locker room, that we could treat it like news. And so then his approach was, well, she didn't play football, but she's a journalist, and she knows what questions to ask. And so that was the way he sold it. I'm not so sure very many people in Dallas bought it, but
it was
a little bit of a tough sell, and there were people who were definitely not happy to have a woman doing sports. But, you know, they stuck with me, and I worked my butt off, and then it sort of became a little bit more of a thing. And by the time we left and went to New York, I was lucky. It was good timing for me.
The other night, you mentioned the Moe thing, and what I know a couple of our players said, you know, because we try to talk about this a lot, you said, just give it a try. Right?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Just, you're going to fail.
Well, I think that in any business, in any career, I mean, there will be people who will say, you know what, that's, you know, we've tried that, it doesn't really work. And you just need to be true to your school, right? I mean, that's when I talk to young people, that's, I hope, what my message is that you just, you know, it's like throwing darts, you know, you just see what works and you just try it. What was the worst thing that would happen?
Exactly.
You would have said no, and that would have been it. But, yeah.
And were you a big sports fan growing up?
I was a huge fan.
Okay,
yeah,
so that clearly helps.
My dad used to paint the basement, you know, maize and blue. Like, you know, he'd put a big block M on the basement, you know, cement wall. He did 2 tours of duty in the South Pacific. He was at Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal, so he didn't get to go to college, but he was a huge, huge Michigan fan. All 4 of his kids got to go to Michigan. It was an in-state school, obviously, you know, tuition was much less for in-state. And my brothers played, you know, but I was pre-Title IX, so I never, you know, I mean, we got to do synchronized swimming, and we,
okay,
you know, we didn't get to do a lot. And I think that, you know, I lived vicariously through my, because people always assume that I was a figure skater or that I was a gymnast, because those are 2 of the sports that I've covered for so many years. And no, I can't do a cartwheel. I can't, you know, I can barely stand up on skates, but
These are excerpts from a discussion with NBC sports reporter Andrea Joyce, who had stories to share about iconic coaches Tom Landry and Bobby Knight.
They're hard stories to tell in between plays, but the Tom Landry, my first job in sports was in Dallas. I was working at a local TV station, and they switched me over to sports from news. And I was going out to Thousand Oaks for the training camp, and I was there, lived out there for a week, you know, morning, noon, and night, morning practice, afternoon practice, breakfast, lunch, and dinner with the team. Never left, was so terrified that, because of my first sports job, really, it was my first big test. And we did a half-hour show every night, like a half-an-hour live show.
On training camp?
At training camp with a live interview with a tape piece, you know, updates on injuries. Anyway, so I'm out there, and I'm like a bad penny. I show up for everything. I'm there. They can't get rid of me. And the assistant coaches start to notice, and they start giving me little tips on, you know, this guy's got a tweaked knee, this guy's got a turf toe, blah, 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 you know. And so I'm there, and I mean business. And I think that when I first got there, people thought it was a gimmick because there were no women. I was the first one. There were no women on the sidelines doing anything. And then they realized after a couple of days that it wasn't a gimmick. I was there to do a job. So I'm there, and we leave Thousand Oaks to go for the first preseason game. We're down in San Diego, and we're waiting outside the locker room to go inside the locker room after the game. And there's only really one woman in the country who was doing sports, and there were stories of her being denied access to the locker room to do interviews. And so we were all taking bets, like, are they going to let me in? Are they going to let me in the locker room? We had no idea. We had no idea. Anyway, so bottom line is that we
don't
know. We have no idea. Well, so down the hall comes Tom Landry in his fedora and his sport coat, and he's walking, and he looks at me, and he kind of nods. And he opens up the door to the locker room, and we can all hear him. He says, "Men, she's coming in," which we've decided is going to be the name of my book if I ever write a book.
Wow. What a line.
Yeah, but it was, and they said, okay.
So what's the feeling in that moment? What do you remember about that?
Not much, because I was in shock, and you know, and my, you know, my first thought was, why does anybody really want to be in this locker room? I mean, it's not really a pleasant place, but you have to do your job. And so all I could think was, now I just have to get my job done. Now
sure.
I just have to ask my questions and get my job done. But
okay, so Bobby Knight's story, this ought to be interesting.
Well, that one almost takes too long to tell. I mean,
I'll tell you that.
But basically, the bottom line is that I think that what I have learned over the years is that as gruff and as grouchy and as grumpy as some people can be, everybody has different sides of their personality, and everybody acts a particular way for a reason in that moment. And I think that I've become over the years more forgiving or more tolerant, because I know that it's not really directed at me.
We'll have more of our discussion with NBC sports reporter Andrea Joyce when we return with more of today's Lely Radio Sports Page on KNIA KRLS.